Turn, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. In verses 13 through 16. I want to try to continue the message that I began last Sunday from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, concerning the Lord our Sabbath. And this passage of Scripture here in Ezekiel 34, verses 13 through 16, speaks of the believer's rest. The believer's rest in Christ. And if you'll notice, not only in this passage of Scripture, but as you study your Bibles, if you'll notice where God says, I will, it's thousands of times in the Scriptures, and all of these are promises that God makes, covenant to make. When God says, I will, He will. When we say, I will, we mean I hope I can. Isn't that right? Sure it is. We really intend to, but sometimes we don't when we say we will. But God always, He never intends to do anything. He never makes an effort to do anything. He always does what He says He will do. Look with me in Ezekiel 34, verses 13 through 16, if you will, please. And I will bring them out from among the people. Already we have one, I will. I will bring them. And gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and all the inhabited places of the country. Now I know that this, when you read this, you're thinking of the nation of Israel as a literal people, and what God's going to do with them. And that is true. That's what He's speaking here, what He's saying. But the spiritual application or interpretation of this is the spiritual Israel and Him bringing them to rest and to peace in the Lord Jesus Christ and providing for them everything that He has promised to provide for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really the heart of what He's saying here. This is Christ in the Scriptures. He said, I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Here we have a completeness. The Lord God in His sovereign will and purpose has brought all of Israel to this place of rest, this place of comfort, this place where He feeds them and cares for them, and He makes one fold of them. You see that picture here? This is the church. This is the church in Christ, and God providing for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now on down in verse 23, Ezekiel 34:23, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. This is David here is Christ. David is a type of Christ, and this is who he's speaking of. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. He shall be their shepherd. Now, our message, we titled the message last Sunday, Christ Our Sabbath. And what I was trying to do was to show you that the true Sabbath, the real Sabbath, the rest for the people of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a day. It's not in ordinances. It's not in ceremony. It's not in rituals. It's not in anything we do, but our rest is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our rest is in Him. Now He said, I'll set up a shepherd over them, and he shall feed them and give them rest and provide for them. And He said, I will do this. That's a promise. That's a covenant promise. And if you look back in Psalms chapter 23, Look with me in Psalms chapter 23. Very familiar psalm. Y'all can quote that, I'm sure. Now, this is not sometime in the far distant future. This is the eternal present for those that know Christ. We rest in Him now. We rest in Him now. I feel it, and I know I've been there. I feel that so many things that we could enjoy now, we think they're somewhere out there, somewhere else. But they're right here and they're right now. We enjoy Christ not only when we get to heaven, we enjoy Him here on earth. We enjoy God, we enjoy the gospel, the spiritual things here. This is our life. This is a believer's life. This is why we live, why He's given us life, spiritual life, to know Him and to enjoy Him, enjoy the things of God. Look here in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd, my only shepherd. I shall not want. What's that saying? I'll have everything that I need. I shall not want for anything. There'll not be anything lacking because my shepherd will provide for me everything, spiritually and otherwise. He maketh me. Isn't that amazing? Study this chapter sometime. I know you've heard it preached on many, many times, and you've read it, and you've studied it, you've memorized it. But He maketh me to lie down. If He didn't make us lie down, we wouldn't lie down. He makes us. We're creatures that don't want to lay down before Him. This flesh doesn't. But He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lovingly, tenderly, gently, however He's pleased to do, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It seems here that He has His hands upon me, that if He takes His hand off me, that I wouldn't have any rest, I wouldn't have any pasture, I wouldn't have any comfort. But He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's saying that our soul sometimes is not restored. Sometimes our souls are troubled. Christ told His disciples, He said, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. We can rest in Christ. Believers, rest. 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 Be still, He said, and know that I'm God. Rest. When the nation of Israel come down to the river, Pharaoh was behind them. There was a river before them. God said, don't you do anything. Just stand still. I'll do it. That's where all of our worry, all of our anxiety, all of our stress is probably one of the number one causes of sickness in our day. That's where all of this comes from. God said, be still. We're God's people. We're His. Christ is our rest. Be still. Be still, my soul. Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Christ said, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I mean, everywhere you turn, everywhere you look in the Scriptures, He's right there. He's saying, look to me. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Trust me. Rest. Rest. Be still. The Lord is my shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I used to think that valley of the shadow of death is when I was lying on my deathbed, ready to die. But you know where the valley of the shadow of death is? Right here, right now. This whole world lies in darkness and death and wickedness. We still got this, we got fightings within, fears within, fears without, wars, troubles, misunderstandings, sin, evil. It's all around. This whole world is in darkness and death. Religious world, political world, the economical world. Everything is under a curse. Darkness and death. And this body is dying. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. It's rest. He's our Sabbath. There in that garden, there's a place, a garden. It's called Eden. And in that garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There we find our reconciliation with God. That God, in strict justice, is reconciled by the death of His Son, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, God said, in that garden, on the seventh day, I rested. That's our rest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, for thou art with me. I'll fear no evil. Why won't you fear evil? Look at all those horrible things. Why won't you fear evil? Because you're with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The word of God and the strength and the power of God. The word of God comforts me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Whatever I need when I face my foe and my enemy, you'll provide for me. You'll provide that table. Whatever it is. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I can rejoice in your presence. I can rejoice in your providence. I can rejoice in your care. I can rejoice in your provision. And that makes me happy. My cup runs over. Where it's heaven or hell, life or death, sickness, poverty, whatever it is, my cup runs over. Surely, absolutely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you could see behind me right now, you'd see sure goodness and mercy. Because it's following me. It's following you if you're one of His. Goodness and mercy. You see, these things are so and they're real. But what I want to see and understand is to comprehend it, to understand it, to find some rest and comfort and hope. I honestly believe this. I believe there are some folks that know Christ that takes longer to find assurance and find rest. I wouldn't give you, if you say you were saved 15 years ago and you're still back there, God has not settled you down and give you some, through the experiences, through the gospel, by His Spirit and grace, all these years, not give you some comfort and some hope. And well, I'd be seeking His face. Because He said, I will. He said, I will. And I consider myself a fairly young believer. I don't know how you consider yourself. I consider myself a young preacher. But I tell you what, the longer I'm on this road, the more calm it is, the more peaceful. The older I get, The longer I'm here, the better the hope is. And I believe that's the way it should be. You know, this thing flares up fast and cools off. I don't know about that. That thing starts out, oh, am I the Lord or am I not? Often it causes anxious thought. But then He keeps reinforcing that. Just keeps giving you assurance and hope as you hear the gospel over and over, and you can't live without it. You can't live without it. Gotta have it. That's how we rest, how we comforted, and how we're fed. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's one thing I read this morning. One thing that I will seek after. The writer said, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, ain't that something? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our rest is not in what we do. You know, that seems like a contradiction, but lots of folks do rest in what they do. They find comfort and assurance and hope in what they do and what they don't do. Because I go to church and because I pray and because I preach and because I give and because I do that, then I've got a pretty good hope because I do all these things. I must be the Lord or He wouldn't cause me to do this. You know, that's a conception of some folks. But you know, we don't rest in our faith. We can't rest in our faith. We can't rest in what we do. We can't rest in what we don't do. We can't rest in who we are. We can't rest in any place or anything and it be real and lasting except the Lord Jesus Christ. We must rest in Him. And that's what this is teaching us. In Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. The Lamb shall feed them. This is the Lamb's responsibility. The Lamb of God, He shall feed them. Now this is something, is it? The shepherd, we read, here shall feed them. He's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In Ezekiel, the shepherd shall feed them. I'll raise up one shepherd and he'll lead them and guide them and feed them. Psalms 23, he shall feed them, the shepherd. And here we see the Lamb that's in the midst of the throne. The Lamb is our very food. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. The Lord Jesus Christ is, as we repose in Him, we feast upon Him. Because He's our bread. He's that living bread. He's that which is necessary for spiritual life. You see, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. That means you have to be a partaker of the Lord Jesus Christ in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, and by faith. That's how we feed upon Him. We feed upon Him by consuming His Word. He's the living Word. We have the written Word before us, which declares Him. This is how we're fed spiritually. And He shall lead them into living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, I'm convinced of this. I don't know if you've given this any thought. You probably have. You're probably way ahead of me on this. But I don't believe there's going to be any tears in heaven. I don't believe there's going to be any crying in heaven. Do you? So when's He going to wipe away these tears? Right now. Right now. When's the Lamb going in the midst of the throne going to feed them? When's He going to feed us? Now. When's He going to lead us into fountains of living waters? Right now. When's he going to bind that brokenhearted and heal that lame? And when's he going to take us in his arms and carry us? When? Right now. That's when we need it. The Lord's my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down. He feeds me. He leads me. He guides me. He provides for me. He feeds me. I rest in Him. I rest in Christ. Believer, rest. Rest. Don't worry about it. I don't say be presumptuous. Don't say not be concerned. I'm not saying be careless. I'm saying trust in Him. What's wrong with that? He's God. He's big. He can take care of it. He said rest. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We rest in His love. Didn't I say it last week? We rest because He loved us. We rest in His Word. We rest in His incarnation, His person and His work. This is why I can rest and be confident that everything's going to be okay. I rest in Him who came and did for me what I could not do. I rest in Him who came and did for me what I could not do. He worked out a righteousness for me and imputed it to me. Therefore, I don't have to work out a righteousness. That is good news. That's about the best news that I've ever heard. Because I don't have to work for my salvation. I don't have to please God in order for Him to save me. I don't have to do anything for Him in order for Him to save me. Because Christ did it all. He worked out a righteousness for me and imputed it to me. Secondly, He put away all of my sin. I'll be honest with you. My sins plague me. I'm very conscious. Maybe not as conscious as I should be, and I know I'm not aware of all my sin. But if you think you know that I'm a sinner, you don't know the half of it. That's so. But you know what? Even in spite of that and the knowledge and comprehension of it, I can rest. Why? Because the Scriptures tell me that He died for my sin, that He put it away, that He bore my sin in His own body on the tree. When He cried out, "It's finished," all my sin were washed away by His blood. He put my sin away. He worked out a righteousness for me. He is all my righteousness. Remember that chorus we sang? He is all my righteousness. I stand in Him complete and worship Him. Complete in Him. I stand before God in Him complete. He's all my righteousness. I rest there. I rest my soul, my eternal destiny. I rest everything that I am. By His grace, on His blood and righteousness. Don't you? I surely hope you do. And if you do, it's only by His grace. Even though I know my sin, I know Him who put away my sin. Then I have three questions to you and to myself. And you answer these questions to yourself. If this is so, what is the law of God going to do with me if He's put away all my sin? You know, I can't rest as long as I know the judgment's against me, the condemnation's before me, that the sentence of death is there, and I must face God in my own righteousness. I can't rest. But now that I know that He's my righteousness and He put away my sin, what's the law of God, perfect, strict justice, going to do with me? Nothing. It did it with Him. Isn't that something? Secondly, like a woman that was taken in adultery, the Lord said, "Where are thine accusers?" And she said, "Lord, I have none. I have this question. What are you going to do with me? What are my enemies going to do with me? What are those that accuse me? What are they going to do with me? If the Lord Jesus Christ is all my righteousness and I stand in Him complete, what can anyone do with me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Third, what can I do with me? I have doubts. I have fears. I'm fallible. I'm just a man. I'm just dust. What am I going to do with me? Nothing. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing's a sweet word used in the right context, isn't it? Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all you that know him, all you that believe, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ, God chose us. Christ died for us. He's now ascended to glory and making intercession for us. He put away our sin, gives us his righteousness. Rest. That's completeness, isn't it? Rest. The work's done. The work's done. It's over. He says it's finished. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Y'all ever had any tribulation since you believed? Had any rough times? Are you a believer today? What about those tribulations of yesterday? They're gone, aren't they? And you're here, aren't you? Oh, I didn't think I was going to make it. Boy, that was rough. You didn't make it. Let me tell you, believer, he did. It's those that don't believe that won't make it. Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sakes are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? If you are, you're going to have some measure of rest. You might have struggled for years. You might be tired and weary, but he said, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. You may have struggled for years, but now, maybe by God's grace, you can say to your soul, be still. Be quiet. I'm going to enjoy this rest. I see it now. I'm going to enjoy it. I believe. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded now. I'm persuaded now more than I was last week. Things getting gooder and gooder, Louis. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. Boy, that's two strong things, ain't it? Life and death. We say this is a life and death situation. Life and death, to live or to die. I'm persuaded that not even death or life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. So lay down. Rest. I rest in his righteousness. not mine. I have none. He has the best and only righteousness that God will accept. Paul said, he wrote to the church at Philippi, he said, I want to be found in Him. That's where I want God to find me, and it's you in Him, in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, as Paul says, God forbid, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, not my faith. But like I tried to tell you a few weeks ago, this is the faith of Christ. The faith that I have is the faith of Christ that He has as a man. He gave it to me. That's how I can believe in God and enjoy this rest. That's which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. But there's some warnings in the Scriptures. Colossians 2 and 8, it says, beware. Now, this rest can be interrupted in our mind, our thoughts, our hearts. It can be, and you know that. It is, mine is, and I'm sure yours is. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. He said, beware. But he said, ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Don't listen to nobody else except God. Don't believe anything else except what God says. Don't trust anything else except anyone except Christ and anything else except what Christ done. Don't look anywhere else. Don't go anywhere else. Don't believe anything else. Don't consider anything else except Christ. Beware. Beware. So if there's a doubt, don't go there. Folks saying, well, they're saying some good things, and you know they're doing some good things and all this mess. But I'll tell you what, if you've got a doubt that Christ is not glorified and enthroned and He's preeminent and He's all, don't go there. Because it's deceitful and deadly. It'll destroy that rest and that peace. Beware. I rest in Him because He put away my sin. We rest in His sacrifice, His forgiveness. I can now rest because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. God has forgiven me. And this is not a one-time thing. God has forever forgiven me because the sacrifice of Christ is eternal. It's effectual. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and He's the lamb in the midst of the throne. In time, He put away my sin. I'm forgiven. The flow of animal blood is stopped as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He came, our own works for acceptance has stopped forever. Now I can rest. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All trespasses. Does that mean anything to you? All trespasses. I can rest. You know, somehow we feel like that we need to do something to get God to forgive us. We need to make some kind of retribution. This natural man feels like that. I know, I've been there. And you've been there too. Maybe you're there now. I don't know. I hope not. But you feel like you got to do something to cause God to do something for you. No. No, it's done. Rest. The work's done. The great transaction's done. He's forgiven you of all trespasses if you're His. He's forgiven you. Hebrews 10:12-17. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and the unbeliever, those that cannot rest, they offer sacrifices daily, daily, daily to try to appease God and get God's favor. But the believer, he rests in Christ because Christ offered one sacrifice for sin forever. He sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We remember them. We can remember other folks' sins a lot better than we can our own. You know, I know a person's real near and dear to me. If you'd done something to him 50 years ago, he'd remember it. And he thought about it. Never held a grudge. He couldn't ever get over it. That's not a believer. That's not a child of God. Daily pray, Lord, help me put it behind my back, forget it, go on. But the unbeliever, he offers daily sacrifices, yet he's never forgiven. But the Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice forever. And he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You remember them, I will, but he won't. Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He obtained it. He obtained it. In Isaiah 45:17, Israel shall be saved in the Lord. With an everlasting salvation. With an everlasting salvation. Saved in the Lord. Ye shall not be ashamed or confounded, world without end. What that's saying? That's saying we can rest there. See, it's all through the Scriptures. It's just everywhere. In the Old Testament Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures, Christ is our rest. 1 Peter 2:24, see if you can find some rest here. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but scriptures are better than my words. See if you can rest here. See if you can get a hold of this by God's grace. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree. Here is personal. He said, who his own self bare our sins, your sins and mine, his people's sin, in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Whose stripes you are healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but now are returned to the bishop and shepherd of your souls. See, he said, I bore your sin, in my own body on the cross. Can you rest there? See, he's there. That's our Sabbath. It's our rest. Revelation 1:5, and Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I wish I could believe that like I want to believe it. I wish I could embrace that like I know that I should. He washed me from my sin in his own blood. If that is so, if God's telling the truth, there ain't nothing wrong. Everything is perfect. Couldn't be any better. If that's so, I believe it is. And I can find some rest right there. And we rest in him through grace, by grace through faith. And I want to stress this in closing, that our rest in Christ is 100%, absolutely, positively, by grace. And what I mean to that, by that, and maybe this will make it clear, I don't know how to go about this, but what I'm saying is that you did not have one little thing to do with it. If you did, then it's a false rest. And your bed will be turned over. The cover will be jerked off of you. And you'll be lying naked before a thrice holy God. But if it's all of grace, if it's all His work, then it's a good rest, perfect rest. We rest in Him by grace through faith. It's a work, our rest is a work of sovereign almighty grace that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we lay hold upon this rest and partake of this rest in regeneration by the impartation of spiritual life. It's the only way that we'll rest our souls in Christ. We can call this rest the experience of grace. Think about it. If somebody asks you what the experience of grace is, you tell them it's my rest in Christ. That's what we experience in Christ, is rest. This is a work of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. I want to give you about three scriptures in closing. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to give them to you for your later reference. We rest in Him by grace through faith by His Word. Number one, by His Word. John 17:17 and Psalms 119:140. And in those passages you'll find references to many, many others. We rest in Him by His Word. By grace through faith, by His Word. His Word declares that rest. Secondly, we rest in Him by grace through faith by the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the gospel. By the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over and over and over and over again. Is my soul troubled? Do doubts and fears come upon me? What do I need? I need to hear the gospel. I need to hear the Word of God. That's how it comes to us. And thirdly, by His Spirit. O blessed Spirit. Spirit of God. Sweep over my soul. Reveal Christ to me again. Break my heart again. Cause me to love You. Believe You. Trust You. To rest. By the preaching of the gospel in Romans 6:25 and 1 Corinthians 1:18, two scriptures for each one. And by His Spirit, Luke 10:21 and 1 Corinthians 2:10. We'll not turn to those. Do you rest in Christ? I want you to. I want to. There's enough labor and trouble and worry and this world to go around, isn't there? Why not rest? If you can, do it. Somebody said, how do I do this? I don't know. I really don't. But if you can, do it. Let's bow our heads.